anyone can break free of poverty, scarcity, and limitation. Anyone can. But not everyone does. Thank you so much for joining us and for being a part of the Unstoppable Woman movement. This Mindset Mastery series on the podcast comes to you every Saturday morning and takes what we discuss in the Morning Mindset Club, compiles it into one easy-to-access recording, and gives you bonus content at the end that fleshes out one key concept in much more detail. Now, this bonus content is not to be missed. If you're already a part of the Morning Mindset Club, listening to this material a second or even a third time will really lock in the learning for you. If you haven't yet joined us in the Morning Mindset Club, we'd love to have you, and it's free. There's no charge to join, and you will receive this material in short, daily snippets as they come out every morning, along with a specific implementation practice and mastery check-in. It's a full success consciousness program that for the time being is totally free. You can find it at theunstoppablewoman.com/mindsetclub. With that, let's dive in and get started. Hello, hello, and welcome to this next installment of the Morning Mindset Club. We are now diving into the next section on desire. I want to read you a couple of very powerful sentences. Only those who become money conscious ever accumulate great riches. Money consciousness means that the mind has been so thoroughly saturated with the desire for money that one can see oneself already in possession of it. I'm going to read that again. Only, not sometimes, not sort of, not kind of, but only. This is a requirement, is what that means. Only those who become money conscious ever accumulate great riches. Okay? Great riches, not small riches, but great riches. And if your goal is not around something financial, but it's like really making a big impact in the world, or maybe it's getting your novel published or your screenplay made into a movie or winning a Grammy or getting funding for a business and being the next amazing startup that has a, you know, IPO that's incredible, whatever it is, okay? Only those who become money conscious ever accumulate great riches. Whatever it is that you want, you must have the consciousness for it. Okay, money consciousness, so now this is specific around the financial stuff. Money consciousness means that the mind has become so thoroughly saturated, full. Like there's nothing else, it, like a sponge. It has to be so full of money consciousness and the desire for wealth that it's not filled with any kind of scarcity or alternate thoughts, opposing thoughts, okay? So thoroughly saturated with the desire for money that one can see oneself already in possession of it. That's such a trick, key piece here. You have to see yourself in possession of it already. Can you actually see yourself with that kind of money and living the kind of life that that kind of money would provide you? So there's so much in these couple of sentences. So to be fully saturated with desire is so key. And yet, most of us were told in some fashion when we were growing up that it was wrong or greedy to desire money. And yet, Hill is saying that you actually have to saturate yourself with this desire. So you cannot be going through life with a feeling of guilt or shame for wanting money and still be able to achieve it. Those are at odds with each other. If you're saying it's wrong or bad for you to have money, like it's going to hurt other people, that it's going to take away from someone else, that It's going to make you into a bad human being that you could possibly want too much, and that would be a slight against who you were. It was going to corrupt you in some way. If you have any of those thoughts, you're at odds with yourself, and you are not thoroughly saturated with a desire for money, and you do not yet have money consciousness fully ingrained. So you want to be full and complete in your desire for money. You've got to ask yourself, what's keeping you from that full desire here? What are the messages? What are the stories about money that you tell yourself that make you say, oh, maybe I don't have to go for it, or maybe I don't really want it, or maybe I should just want something less? Okay. Do you have in your mind that money is the root of all evil? That's one that many people have been told. Money doesn't cause evil. Money is a resource, like the air we breathe or the sunlight that shines down on us. It's a resource that keeps growing and becoming more. Okay. And it's a resource for our life, for our expansion. Think about that. This is a giant misconception that of what money is. To say money is the root of all evil is a complete abdication of personal responsibility. Money doesn't cause evil. People need to take responsibility for their actions. If you do something wrong, you did it. Own that. If you acted in a poor way or made poor decisions or took advantage of people in some way, that's not money that did that to you. That was a choice that you made. Okay? So you need to trust yourself to be able to utilize money and lots of money in the way that you want to, in a high integrity way. Because money doesn't cause you to lose your integrity. You cause you to lose your integrity. Okay? So the bigger thing here is to think about why such a phrase would get repeated again and again. Why is it part of the culture, the psyche? Well, I think it's a justification for not facing one's fears and going after what one wants. If we say money does that to us, then we can say, well, then that's why I'm not going for it. That's why I don't want to make money. That's why I don't want to receive that much money, because that's going to happen. Okay? It makes it okay, gives a reason for not growing into all that we are and what we're supposed to do in this world. And it makes it an excuse, an abdication for not doing the work required to break free of poverty and scarcity and limitation. Anyone can break free of poverty, scarcity, and limitation. Anyone can. But not everyone does. Everyone has the same capability, but not everyone does. Now, sometimes that's because of ignorance. They don't know what they don't know, and they don't know how to utilize this kind of information, this creative process. Okay, but once you know what it really requires to grow and break free of your own fears and limitations, then it's up to you. No excuses. Okay, no excuses. If you really want a richer life, and in this case we mean financial riches, money, then you must get good with money. You must saturate your mind with money consciousness and excise all those double binds and stories that say that it's wrong or bad to make money. Okay? So that's your little nugget for today. I hope that makes sense. Rock it out. Be unstoppable. And I'll see you in the next audio. Hello, hello, and welcome to the next installment of the Morning Mindset Club. So we are still in chapter 2 on desire, and I just have one quick sentence to unpack here for you. Hill says, the steps call for no, quote, hard labor, end quote. Isn't that interesting? The steps call for no hard labor. So if you will, you're going to want to go back to the six steps and look at those. They are, just to summarize, fix in your mind the exact amount of money you desire. Determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the money you desire. Establish a definite date when you intend to possess the money you desire. Create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once, whether you are ready or not to put this plan into action. Write all of these things out and then read your statement aloud twice daily. Okay, none of these things are hard in and of themselves. None of these steps are challenging. So what does this mean? This means you don't have to struggle. The steps are easy if you get out of your own way and do them. Now, I fought this for years, for a long, long, long time. I read that, didn't do anything with it, and decided that, you know, I had to work really hard in my business. And let's be clear, I put a lot of effort into my business. I still do. I'm diligent in the application of my efforts. I put effort in, but I'm not struggling anymore. I'm not creating hard, mentally, emotionally, physically hard labor. Okay? But I believe that I had to, and I struggled for years. And my results showed that. My experience showed that. I always am saying, look at your results to see, you know, where you're at. And I clearly wanted to make it hard because that's what I was doing, but I had no idea what part of me wanted to make it hard. All I knew was that I was in the hard. And yet Hill is saying here that steps call for no hard labor. And it's true. It doesn't have to be hard. And what I found was that I was really quite attached to the hard. It was where I got my sense of worth, by working hard, the grind, if you will. All I knew was how I was brought up. And certainly a strong work ethic is an amazing asset. I have that. I'm proud of it. I utilize it every single day. But now I do it with delight, with joy, with ease, with like enthusiasm. I have a great attitude. Whereas before, it was an uphill battle because I had an unconscious or subconscious belief that said, in order for it to be worth it, it had to be hard. In order for me to feel worthy, I had to struggle. But there's just no truth to that. That is not the truth. Everything changed for me when I understood that. And here's a reframe for you. When you work for the satisfaction, I'm sorry, let me say that differently. I work, you work for satisfaction, for the feeling of satisfaction that working gives you. That's what drives the work. That changed my attitude completely. Okay? When I realized that I was working for my own satisfaction, my own well-being, my own feeling of yumminess in achievement, but I got paid for the service that I provided. Those are two distinct things. I work, I show up for the satisfaction, but I get paid for the service that I provide. So you need to embrace what you do, love it, do it for the love of it. Then it's not hard anymore. So do these six steps for the love of it, then it won't be hard anymore. And that completely changes the experience. Yes, of course, there will be times of extraordinary challenges in your life and business where you're up against the terror barrier and all your fears come to the surface and you won't want to continue. You'll want to turn around and you'll want to stop. And quite frankly, you want to be doing anything but what you're doing and run in the other direction. That's where the hard comes in, because you are up against doing something new that is contrary to your existing belief system about who you are and what is okay in this world, what is safe in this world. That's when it's hard. Now you have to do it anyway to move through it. Okay. But the actual work of doing it is not that hard. Good example here. I often coach my clients on picking up the phone instead of sending an email. It allows for a full conversation with people, you know, things get flushed out, all of that. And they're terrified to reach out to someone. Let's say a client has an issue that's going on, or a contractor has an issue that's going on, or someone on their team is having a meltdown. Instead of sending an email, pick up the phone. And yet most people don't want to do that. They want to avoid it. They want to stay behind an email or a text or something like that. And all of them wants to avoid it. This is especially true when you're reaching out for sales and seeing if someone's interested in working with you, buying your product or service. And all your stuff comes up. Now, you have to do it anyway. The act of dialing the phone and talking to someone is not hard. No one can tell me that is hard. The emotions you bring to the situation, the fear of rejection, criticism, judgment, that's what creates the hard. That's what creates the terror barrier and the huge discomfort. But the actual work of it is not hard. Not at all. Okay, so that's why you have to want it badly enough. You must want what you want badly enough that you're willing to move through the hard bits in order for it all to be easy. That's one of the divine dichotomies here. Okay, so what do you need to move through today that is seemingly hard, but isn't really, but you're in resistance to? You're saying it's hard. So that you can make it easy, because once you do it and you do it consistently, it's no longer something that will terrify you, something that will feel hard. Think about it. Things that were hard for you 6 months ago, a year ago, 3 years ago are no longer hard for you because you've done them, okay? They're easy now. And it's really easy to grow your business if you consistently reframe what you're doing as easy rather than hard. Hello, hello. Okay, we are going to continue with unpacking the six steps, practical steps to riches. So in this sentence paragraph, Hill says, the successful application of these six steps does call for sufficient imagination to enable one to see and to understand that accumulation of money cannot be left to chance, good fortune, and luck. One must realize that all who have accumulated great fortunes first did a certain amount of dreaming, hoping, wishing, desiring, and planning before they acquired money. Okay, let's break this down. So he's saying this in contrast to hard labor. Okay, the successful application of these six steps does call for sufficient imagination. So imagination is the key word here. Imagination is one of your six faculties of your higher mind. This is one of your God-given gifts that separates you from every other creature in the animal kingdom. You have the capacity to imagine. And when you imagine, you start bringing an idea into clarity and form. So you have to be able to play with your desires, imagine what's going to happen, start seeing them come into form, and allowing yourself enough time to do that. Now, for me, I love doing this on my runs. I love doing this in the morning when I'm most creative. I love doing it while I'm occupied doing something else that's not requiring my full attention, like, I don't know, emptying the dishwasher or something like that. Then I let my imagination run wild. Now, in the beginning, I would panic a little bit with this because I just was in a different place. And I thought, oh my God, I have to be super, super clear with exactly what I need and want immediately. And if I don't, I am screwed. And I didn't realize that the imagination needs to kick into gear so that you can get clearer and clearer about your desires and goals. So you want to take some time to really allow yourself to imagine what's going to happen for you if you have the riches that you desire. What are you going to call into your life? What would that feel like? What would you be doing? Who would you be? How would you move? How would you dress? Who would you be interacting with? What is that? What is that vision that you have for yourself? Okay. So I love doing this on when I'm in other activities, because it allows me to focus. And quite frankly, when you're doing something like running or walking, it's a bilateral movement. And I don't know enough about this. I'm not a neuroscientist, but there's something about that bilateral movement that allows the synapses or the material, the energetic material, the cellular energetic movement from the left hemisphere of your brain to the right hemisphere of your brain, crossing the corpus calliculum, I think is how you pronounce it. And it really allows you to move from the logic mind to the creative mind and back and forth and back and forth. And that is a beautiful, beautiful process. So consider imagination as one of the tools that you can use to get more clarity so that you really own what you desire. And he says that everyone who accumulated great fortunes first did a certain amount of dreaming, hoping, wishing, desiring, and planning before they acquired the money. So this is a prerequisite, okay? Because as you do this, the ideas will start coming forward, the opportunities will start being seen. You'll start opening to the ways and the means, okay? So in the beginning, yes, it's dreaming, hoping, wishing, desiring, okay? And then it turns into planning, which is like an incremental step forward, and then it turns into action. So I often say, you know, hope is not a strategy, or wishing's not going to get you there, which is true. It won't. It's an incomplete part of the formula, but it is part of it. You have to have hope. You have to want something, wish for something. You need to really enjoy that and play with it and play it forward, and then start taking that action. Good morning, and let's dive into the next section in this chapter on desire. Here, Hill says, "You may as well know right here that you can never have riches in great quantities unless you can work yourself into a white heat of desire for money and actually believe you will possess it." This is such a critical sentence. This sentence is so important for you to really study, to really understand, to really look at and have an honest conversation with yourself about. Because right now, if you really want to possess riches, it cannot be a wish, a nice to have, a hope. You must really, really, really want it. It must be that white heat, that burning desire, that obsession. You will hear Hill mention this over and over and over again. And this is critical, because when you set your sights on something, when you have a goal that you are going for, you must want it badly enough, so strongly, that the desire for it will outweigh all the fears that you have about going after it. Now, people are motivated by both desire, moving towards something, towards the pleasure, towards the thing you want, and away from the pain. Now, if the pain of, if you think the pain of what you're going for is going to be stronger than the thing that you want, you will let that pain stop you, because you will move away from that pain. But you must transform it. You must make the pain of not achieving what you want stronger than the interim pain that you might experience along the way. And you do that by claiming your desire, among other things. Okay, so you have to really want it. Now, I hear a lot of people say, money isn't that important to me. I'm not doing it for the money. It's not all about the money. I get that. And if that's true for you, if that's 100% accurate, then this is a very important thing for you to know. Don't let society or anyone else tell you what you should want or what your motivation is. Own it for yourself. If what you want badly is really love or presence, own that. Own that. You know, you might want something else very clearly. Be clear about that. And then ask yourself, and this is critical, ask yourself if you need money to achieve your desire. Now, you might have an impact goal. Do you need money to make that happen? For most things that we want to create in life, let's say you want to put on the most magnificent dance performance that you have in your mind's eye. Will you need the money for the sets, the money for the stage, the money to market it, the money to hire the dancers, the money to pay them a livable wage, the money for the costumes, the money for you to pay yourself and live while you're putting on the performance? Now, you can do trades and all sorts of things for this, but an exchange like that works. However, for most people in this society, having money makes it so much easier to create the thing that you actually want to create. So whatever it is that you have in your mind's eye that you want to do in this world, and it could just be a lifestyle goal for yourself, how much is that going to take? So you have to really look at this. And I find that for many people, they underestimate how much money they actually want for the initiative that they have or for the lifestyle that they want to live. And they put blinders on about it, and they go a little bogged out about it because they have a bunch of stories around money and what it's going to take. We're just going to call them money stories for right now. There's a lot of denial around wanting money that happens. And it's something that I actually talk about and help people unpack at the Unstoppable Woman Summit. So if you're interested in that, just make a note of that, okay? We do those, and you're invited. You're very welcome to attend those. They really help you see where you are telling yourself stories about money. Because, and this is so critical, guys, because if you don't really own what you want, you will never have enough of that white hot, white heat, burning desire, obsession to get it. Okay, so whatever it is you want, you must want it badly enough and remove the lies, the alibis, the excuses, the double binds, the loyalty packs, the stories that stop you from really going for it. Okay? So you have to really own it, and you must understand that there is a monetary component and release any monetary, like money stories that you have there. Okay? Now, the second key here, the key aspect to this sentence is the word believe. You must believe that you will possess it. When I started this journey, someone told me, my mentor told me, that I could make my annual income my monthly income. I had never thought of it that way. I had never thought that that was possible, that you could make your annual income your monthly income. That, my brain just started flipping out listening to that. It wasn't just words that someone was telling me, I started to think, wow, that could happen. That happens for people. And let me tell you guys, it happens all the time. Not for everyone, but for people who have the white hot burning desire for that, that have that as an ambition and start to believe it. And in that moment, boom, I started to believe. And then he said, I could make $1 million in a year. And I thought, wow, that's possible. And it's true. People do it all the time. And there's no exception to those people, right? There's nothing exceptional to those people except that they have the white hot burning desire to do it, the belief that they can do it, the perseverance, the plan, and they take the action. Okay? But they weren't, when I say there's nothing exceptional to them, it's not that there's a lot of things that are exceptional to them. Most people don't have the wherewithal to do those things, to act like this, to be that kind of person. But it's not because they were brought up in a certain type of environment. There's too many exceptions to that rule. You know, there's too many rags to riches stories to make that true. It's not that they were born into a certain class of people, male versus female. Too many women do it. White versus black, you know, have a certain kind of education, are intelligent in a certain way, have a certain skill set. There's too many exceptions to this story, okay? So it can't be those things. It cannot be those things. So I started to conceptualize this as possible for me. I could actually do this. And these were things I had never before thought possible for myself. Yet when I heard them, my mind and my heart started to go to work. If they can do it, I can do it. And I wanted it. Suddenly, I had both the burning desire and the belief. That was all that had to happen for me to get started. Now, that's not all that that had to happen for it to go from an idea to manifestation, okay? But that was all I needed to get started and to know that it was possible for me, and I latched onto it. And that's the year that I went from making $138,000 annually to $700,000 in 1 year. That's a 5 times increase in my income, something that I had never thought possible. And I made my annual income, my monthly income in that year. Fascinating, huh? That's where it began. But I couldn't, so at that place where I heard that this was possible, I couldn't deny the desire once it got hold of me and me of it, right? I latched onto the desire. I did not deny it. I did not say no to it. Then we were off to the races, as they say. I actually had to decide at that point to get help as well. Okay. It was at that point that I hired my mentor, scared as I was, okay, but wanting it badly. I know that I had to want it badly, okay, but that's where it took off, okay? So what do you really want? What do you want to make a year? Do you want to make your monthly income your annual income? Do you want to make $1 million in a year? Do you want to make more than that? Do you want to double, triple, quadruple your income? Do you want to be the best in your industry? Imagine what that would be like. And then ask yourself, do you believe that you can do it? By the way, belief is not the same thing as the how. Okay, this is where so many people get tripped up and confused. At this stage of the game, we're not asking you, do you know how to do it? That's not the question right now. The question is, do you want it? And do you believe it? that you have the capacity, that you're capable of it, that it's possible for you, that you could have this. That's all I'm asking of you right now. After that, then you have to decide that you're going for it. And then once the decision is made that you're going for it, then the how comes in. You do not need to know how to do it. I had no idea how to do it. Okay. And that's why I hired my mentor. Okay. And that's why you want to get very clear first. Do you want it? And do you believe you can have it? Then you decide. We can build a solid plan for you to achieve it faster than you ever thought possible, and much faster than zigzagging on your own. Trust me, I had tried that for years already. Okay? But there's a faster way to make this happen. It starts first with asking yourself those questions. What do you want? Do you have that white heat burning desire for it? Just start with that. Then, do you believe that it's possible for you, that you're capable of it? If you answer yes to those things, then you're on your way. And please do reach out to me or my team if you want help making this go a heck of a lot faster. Good morning, and thank you for joining me for the Morning Mindset Club. Next up in our discussion is this sentence. If you do not see great riches in your imagination, you will never see them in your bank balance. Let me repeat that. If you do not see great riches in your imagination, you will never see them in your bank balance. Imagination is key here. This is so fundamental, yet most people gloss right over it and go to the habitual way they've always created, which is through struggle. Now, there will be times where you must push through, if you will, some challenge that's in front of you. You will have to go forward regardless of how it feels, and it might feel like a struggle. Sometimes that is the truth. There's going to be lots of challenges that come to you. And at first, it might feel like an uphill battle or swimming upstream. And yet, as you work this methodology and get really super clear on how this happens, you will learn how to flip the switch for yourself and become one of those lucky few who claims their lives, who claims how to turn their lives around from struggle and start creating. And by creation, I mean bringing in to the 3D physical world the things that they hold in their imagination and making them manifest without the level of struggle that most people experience to make that happen. Now, when I first started on this path, I did not understand how much easier it could be. Because I was so enmeshed in my way of doing it. But my way was getting me the results that it always had gotten. And it came with the struggle that I was always experiencing. And I had that as my worldview, and I could not step out of it until someone told me and showed me the way. And basically said, your way isn't working, try my way. And I had to swallow, if you will, my pride and recognize that actually how I was approaching achieving my goals was actually embedded with a huge amount of struggle. And maybe there was a different way, because look over there. It looks so easy for them, right? We look at the after stories and go, wow, They just make so much money. How is that possible? Whether you're looking at Oprah or Beyonce or some NFL star player who makes $20 million a year, the after story looks so easy. And we discount it and say, that's for the lucky few. And it's not. They did something different. Success leaves clues. So the thing that I want to point out here is that, yes, there is going to be work. I do not want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. However, it starts in the workshop of your mind. That is, making it easier starts in the workshop of your mind, which is the imagination. I just finished teaching a whole masterclass on imagination to the women in my Spirit of Wealth Mastermind, and there's so much I could say on this. In fact, it could probably be a 2 or 3 day event, right? A seminar on that. Actually, there's an idea, right? That's exactly how the imagination works. It's always creating if you allow it to. But what happens for most people is that they don't know how to channel it and give it a structure. And without a structure, it meanders hither and yon. It's not given a purpose, a goal to go after. See, you're always imagining. That's the truth. It's one of the creative faculties, the faculties of your higher mind that you were born with. It is an absolute gift that cannot be taken away from you, but you can misuse. See, you're imagining what you're going to make for dinner. You're imagining when you're going to go for a run. You're imagining what the kids need now. This is all a form of thinking, of imagination. You also might be imagining why something that you want won't work. You're automatically going into negative thinking, negative faith, saying things like, you know, I can't do that because, or they're going to say no and treat me like, poorly, or they're going to reject me, or that's impossible, or I don't have time for that, or I don't have money for that. Those are all, you are using your creative faculty of imagination there against yourself, okay? Maybe you're saying, no one's going to, buy my story. No one's going to want to create my script into a movie. It's going to be hard to sell my script. It's going to take 20 years of struggle before I make it in Hollywood. This is using your imagination against yourself. So you've got to go back to that question in this, the key thing in this sentence, which says, if you do not see great riches in your imagination, you will never see them in your bank account. So do you see it? And do you see it in your bank account? How much do you want in your bank account? What do you want that bank balance to be? Again, this is a clarity question, okay? How much money would you like in there? How much money would you like to consistently flow in and out of there? Because it's not about just gathering it and hoarding it and being afraid of using it. You want to have a great life. You want to use it for stuff. The people who create the most money in their lives are actually also using the most money in their lives. This is a truth. Okay? So this is what that sentence is about. What is the exact amount that you want in the bank, and start seeing it and imagining it first. That's where it starts. Okay? So this is a big step for you. Take it today, be unstoppable, and have an amazing day. Good morning, everyone. Next up in our study is this line, this paragraph. We who are in this race for riches should be encouraged to know that this changed world in which we live is demanding new ideas, new ways of doing things, new leaders, new inventions, new methods of teaching, new methods of marketing, new books, new literature, new features for the radio, new ideas for moving pictures. Back of all of this demand for new and better things, there is one quality which one must possess to win, and that is definiteness of purpose and the knowledge of what one wants and a burning desire to possess it. Okay, lots of juiciness there. So let's break this down. There are a few different things that I want to point out in this section. One is, he talks about a race and winning. And for lots of people, that might imply a win-lose mentality or a sense of competitiveness that causes you to feel ill at ease because you want to be on the creative plane. But then in the same paragraph, he's talking about all this creation, like creating all this new stuff. That's what it's going to require. It's going to require creation. So how do you make sense of this? Well, the way I make sense of this is that I am running my own race. You need to be in competition with yourself, not with anyone else. We don't live in a zero-sum universe. We can all win. That's my concept. That's my philosophy. That said, you as an individual only have so much time on this earth in this lifetime. So you are actually in a race against time for yourself, not against anyone else. But it's a wake-up call. Are you going to let another week pass? Are you going to let another month pass? Are you going to let another 6 months pass? Next year? 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? How much time needs to pass before you wake up and step into your greatness and really say, now is the time for more life. Now is the time for me to face my fears and go forward and be unstoppable and be determined and persist through the things that are challenging so that I can create what I want to create in this world. So that when I get to my last breath, I can say I've left everything on the field of play. That's where I want to be at my last breath, that I have left everything on the field of play, that I've done everything, showed up in the way I want to show up. I haven't retracted. I haven't lived in fear. I have stepped forward and I continue to step forward. So that's the first thing that I want to point out to you. Now, the second thing is, he says here, this changed world in which we live is demanding new ideas. It's demanding it. That means it's calling you forward. That means there's no other way. You must come forward with new ideas. It's demanding it. If you don't, you lose. It's required. Now, the beautiful thing is that everyone has the capacity to create through new ideas. It is your God-given faculty of imagination. Everyone has it. Not everyone uses it. Not everyone has an active imagination. Not everyone applies it. Earlier in this chapter, the paragraph before, he talks about practical dreamers. To be a practical dreamer, you must use your imagination, but then put it into action. Apply it. Be practical about it. Don't just be head in the clouds, wishing, hoping, dreaming. But take that dream and make it manifest through action, okay? So you must heed the call of new. And I find it fascinating that this was written almost 100 years ago, and it's still applicable here. We are in a phase of life that requires new ideas, new ways of doing things, new leaders, new inventions, new methods of teaching. Think about that. That's always the case. How are you going to step forward and lead? How are you going to step forward and create new literature, new books, new things for the world of video and digital age, right? What are your new contributions? What are your new ideas? They come from your imagination, mixed with infinite intelligence, all the energy that is, and then you need to put them into practical application. So that is your action for today, your thought process for today. What is the new thing that you're calling in? It can be small, it can be large, but what is the new thing that you are creating? And what are you going to do today to make that manifest and not just a nice idea? Okay, with that, rock it out and be unstoppable. For the bonus content for this episode, I want to talk more about the challenges people have with imagination. As you've seen, imagination is so critical to calling in what you desire, whatever the riches you desire are, whether they're riches in your relationships, your health, your finances, cold hard cash there. Whatever you're going for, you need to be able to positively use your imagination to help you call in what you desire. And it seems so easy, right? Imagination is something that we're born with, that we actively use as children. How many of you spent hours and hours and hours just daydreaming as kids? I could sit for hours, like staring at my toes, playing with a piece of paper in the living room, right? I didn't need a lot to actively entertain myself because I had my imagination. And we did this so easily as kids, yet now as adults, most people can't seem to sustain thinking positively about what they desire, about what they want. Most people use their imagination negatively. They go into worry, they go into doubt, they go into fear. They start imagining negative scenarios or negative conversations. Something hooks you and you start imagining what you would say to your lover, your partner, your husband, your colleague, your mother, your sister, your brother, it doesn't matter who. You get something hooked and then you go down this rabbit hole of imagining a scenario where you say X, Y, and Z, and they say P, D, Q, and then you say this, and then they say that, and it's this whole negative scenario, and you're in a place where you're probably defending yourself. Or another great place for me to point this out is, let's say you're going for something big in your life, you're presenting a proposal to someone, whether it's like, here's my new screenplay, or here's my book, do you want to be my agent? Or maybe it's putting something in front of a client or a prospective client. And you are presenting something. And in advance, you start imagining all the things that they are going to say negatively. Like, no, we don't want it. It's like this. We can't do it. Whatever it is. You're imagining what you actually don't want. And this creates a block, quite frankly. It's not a good habit to be in, and yet it is habitual. Let's talk about now why this is a habit, why we might have this as a pattern. And it's not to say that if you do this, you never think positively about things. I'm not speaking in black and white here or all or nothing, but I am calling this out because people don't realize how insidious this is, how embedded it is into your thinking, and you don't actually realize how much you do this, when in fact you could be using that same energy positively towards the ends that you desire. So why do people do this? Well, partly it's habit. They've just gotten in the habit of doing it. Okay, we can change habits. Partly, I think it's because we think we're problem solving by doing this. We're thinking about all the possible things that someone could say or something, things that could happen that we have to plan for in advance. Now, that's perfectly reasonable if it is short and contained and done consciously. But most of the time, this is done very much unconsciously. You just get hooked by a thought and you're down the rabbit hole thinking about this negative scenario, imagining this negative scenario, without it being truly a conscious, like, oh, if that happens, we need to shift to here. We need to adjust how we speak to this point, right? Like, there's a different consciousness when you're actually problem solving versus when you're in negative imagination. And so be aware of that. But I think in part people go down that path because they think that it's preparation, but you get hooked. Okay, now I think the bigger picture here about why people do this is that we are programmed from a very young age to feel like we have to defend ourselves and defend ourselves in advance to prove that you are not wrong or that someone else is wrong. Now, I know that this might be a little triggery for you. Like, maybe I don't do that. But really think here. Really, really look at this. As a child, most children were misunderstood or felt misunderstood in some way when they asked for something. When they said, I want this, mommy or daddy. I want this, grandma. I want this, whoever my caretaker is. Okay? When you expressed a desire to do something, let's say it was as simple as, I don't want to go to school. I want to play with my toys, right? But mom and dad want to get you to kindergarten, okay? Because they know in the bigger picture of things, that's probably going to help you get through society. Mom and dad are not consciously trying to F up your life, okay? Well, hopefully, maybe some of them were, but in this example, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they were really trying their best with the information they had at the time to raise you the best way that they could. So they have a desire to get you to school on time, and you have a desire to take 4 hours putting on your shoes or playing with your toys. And then at some point, mom or dad gets a little gruff with you, you know, calls you out on it. Hurry up, let's go. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? All of this stuff. Now you have a desire to play, but that was squashed, made insignificant, ignored, dismissed, whatever you want to call that. It was pushed aside. And this happens 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times in our childhood. Not because, again, our parents are trying to F us up, but because of the meaning we associate with it. We're young, we want this, we don't understand that the bigger picture of things. So we just think it's not okay to have our desires, because if I desire something and my mother God or father God doesn't want me to do that, I must be wrong for wanting that. But we know that we're not, because desire is causative. Desire is part of our full self-expression. We know that intuitively, in fact, instinctually as a child. And yet we have to put meaning on it in order to survive in this world, because we can't make our mother God, our father God wrong, okay? But then we are in this dynamic. Is what I want wrong, or is what they want wrong? And suddenly we're programmed, not suddenly, but over time we are programmed into this right-wrong paradigm. I have to defend my desires, but if I defend my desires, I'm making you wrong. You must be wrong. No, I'm wrong. Back and forth. It's very, very confusing. And if you're ever in one of those scenarios where you're like trying to defend yourself in your mind and make someone else wrong, you'll know how there's a feeling of unsettledness there. It's not a feeling of thrilled to be alive, this exuberance, love, openness, greatness, extraordinary life, delight. It's none of that. It's this like heavy, dissonant place So you got to wonder what the heck's going on there. Okay. And this I think is the squashing of our unique self-expression. Okay. We're taught that wanting is going to take something away from others. And like, it's a zero sum game, when in fact it's the full expression of ourselves. When we say we want something, I want to be that, I want to do that, I want to have that, it is for the fuller expression of ourselves. It is how we express ourselves. And of course, there are false desires, right? There's societal pressures. There's things that we think we should want or should do. But we actually know the difference. We can feel the difference, okay? So there's a link between wanting and desire. Those two things are the same thing. So there's a link between desire, your full self-expression, and imagination. Because if it's not okay to want what you want and to fully express yourself, you will not feel comfortable imagining your desires. Because that is unsafe. You might lose the love of your mother God, father God. You might lose the safety and security and survival that comes from having the caretaking of those two individuals or whomever played those roles in your life. So it makes it very dangerous to actually imagine what you desire. And yet, that's exactly what you want to do. That's exactly what you have to do in order to call in riches at a much higher level and, quite frankly, much quicker. So I'm going to make a little pitch here. If you guys want to go deeper into this material and really break free, I invite you to sign up for the Unstoppable Woman Summit. We are going to be going into all of this in so much more detail. So please look for the links to the summit on our website. You can find that at theunstoppablewoman.com. And we hope to see you there. Okay, with that, rock it out. Be unstoppable. Take care. Thank you so much for joining us and for being part of the Unstoppable Woman Movement. This special series is a part of our Morning Mindset Club and comes to you here on the podcast every Saturday morning. If you'd like to join the Morning Mindset Club at no charge, you won't have to wait a whole week and can listen to this series in short daily snippets every morning. Plus, you'll get a quick implementation practice and mastery check-in to go along with it. You can find the Morning Mindset Club info in the show notes below, or just head over to theunstoppablewoman.com/mindsetclub. And as always, please share this podcast with two or three women who are ready for exponential growth and exponential wealth. And if you're game, we always appreciate a review on iTunes. That really helps us reach and elevate more women. Thanks so much, and be unstoppable.